Hello, and welcome to ProU Podcast, episode number 379, Resolve. Yep, had to look it up. The noun. I was looking for the noun version, not the verb. And that was this past Sunday for me, finding resolve. Which led to this episode, which took me a minute to get to. Because, you know, sometimes my life is just fun. And I have quite the story to share on this episode. And longtime friend, listener, Joe Ringaneri, sent me a text a couple days ago, like a year in review text. I guess he's done it a couple times. And it just made me smile. I'm like, oh, I'm going to share that. And it referred to this post that he had posted on social media back in 2017. And so I went back and read that, and it literally tore me apart. I have no idea. I mean, maybe a little bit what I'm going through right now or whatever, but it just pulled on my heartstrings, like just remembering the first conversation, meeting Joe, all the conversations we've had. And I mean, the dude never Skyped before, and you know, just sharing his story and demonstrating his courage and his will, and he's just a complete success story. So just thank you, Joe, for being you and sharing your story always and staying appreciative. You're like one of the most appreciative people that I know, and that means a ton to me. That goes a very, very long way with me. So I read that little story, which I just think is a beautiful, you know, almost year-ending story. Got this episode, 379, and then 380, year end. So we're closing up on 2020. Did anybody run out of toilet paper? I'm just curious. Thank you, thank you, thank you for listening, supporting my journey. And please, 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 if you have any questions, comments, anything you'd like to share, you know someone who needs help, want to chat, Skype, anything at all, I'm here. Enjoy. Resolve, not the verb, the noun, a strong determination to do something. I wasn't really, you know, it's like resolve an issue. I got that. But when they say, you know, this person has resolve, and I was like, it just kind of hit me Sunday morning. And so I looked it up, and I'm like, well, that's perfect. I mean, it's a great word, but it fit my Sunday morning, which I will get to. But first, quotes. Calm down, sit down, it's just quotes. You don't have to stand up and applaud every time I read quotes. But thank you for your passion. Discover yourself. Otherwise, you have to depend on other people's opinions who don't know themselves. At any moment, you have a choice that either leads you closer to your spirit or further away from it. Letting go gives us freedom, and freedom is the only condition for happiness. If in our heart we still cling to anything, anger, anxiety, or possessions, we cannot be free. How few there are who have courage enough to own their faults or resolution enough to mend them. Schroeder, Lucy. Schroeder's playing the piano. Lucy says, what happens if you practice for 20 years and then end up not being rich and famous? Schroeder, the joy is in the playing. Pause. Oz. Lucy, you're kidding. Finding yourself, it's not really how it works. You aren't a $10 bill in last winter's coat pocket. You are also not lost. Your true self is right there, buried under cultural conditioning, other people's opinions, and inaccurate conclusions you drew as a kid that became your beliefs about who you are. Finding yourself is actually returning to yourself, an unlearning, an excavation, a remembering who you were before the world got its hands on you. I love that one. I have no idea, but since a child, I felt connected to Indians. I have no idea at why, what it was about it, but I remember, like, God, I wish I was like part Cherokee or something. Where that came from, not a clue. But I have a lot of respect for them and their beliefs and how they view the world. Before our white brothers came to civilize us, we had no jails. Therefore, we had no criminals. We had no locks or keys. And so we had no thieves. If a man was poor, so poor that he had no horse, teepee, or blanket, someone gave him these things. We were too uncivilized to set much value on personal belongings. We wanted to have things only in order to give them away. We had no money, and therefore a man's worth couldn't be measured by it. Like, how strong is that? Here you go. Listen up. The very culture we live in denies that there's truth, makes people hungry, hurts people, leaves them isolated, therefore empty, therefore wanting satisfaction from the outside, therefore addicted. And then it creates all these products and all these activities and all these cultural diversions to fill the very emptiness that it creates. And then they say that selfishness is the nature of human beings. And there's the complete circle of the ideology. Be good to people. You will be remembered more for your kindness than any level of success you could possibly attain. There's only one way to happiness, and that is to cease worrying about things which are beyond the power of our will. Wealth consists not in having great possessions, but in having few wants. Boom. All right, this is called the Four Agreements. Be impeccable with your word. Speak with integrity. Say only what you mean. Avoid using the word to speak against yourself or to gossip about others. Use the power of your word in the direction of truth and love. Don't take anything personally. Nothing others do is because of you. What others say and do is a projection of their own reality, their own dream. When you are immune to the opinions and actions of others, you won't be the victim of needless suffering. Don't make assumptions. Find the courage to ask questions and to express what you really want. Communicate with others as clearly as you can to avoid misunderstanding, sadness, and drama. With just this one agreement, you can completely transform your life. Always do your best. Your best is going to change from moment to moment. It will be different when you are tired as opposed to well-rested. Under any circumstance, simply do your best and you will avoid self-judgment, self-abuse, and regret. Nature does not hurry, yet everything is accomplished. There we go, kids. Hope you're enjoying them quotes as much as I is. So I spoke, I believe I did, about you're having a good day, you feel something, and you come into contact with another person, and somehow, some way, they kind of poo-poo on your parade. And then you feel, whatever, sad or bummed, or and you're like, what? And when that happened, I was looking at it, I'm like, well, what really happened? It was like, well, there's like an energy shift. You know, I was vibrating at one level and now it was lower. Why? Well, I came into contact with someone that was operating at a lower level. And to me, that kind of helped create that space of, I'm not really bummed. I'm not really, you know, it's not a, you know, a feeling is a temporary thing. Why it happened is my concern. Why it happened is the exchange of different energy, you know, a lower level of energy supply. And I'm like, okay, that makes sense. And it just kind of changed for me. So it's kind of a Mosier moment. We were chatting and he was talking about, you know, sometimes in life you can't maintain that balance, you know, like you're striving to do this one thing. And it might be, you know, first example that popped in my head, let's say a woman's pregnant. Okay, she's not going to be able to go to the gym and look the way she wants to. You know what I mean? It's like, look, that will come. But right now, this is a priority. You know, taking care of the, you know, the life that resides inside of you. So that kind of a thing. And I got to this place where I said, you know, it's important. You know, because I've talked about like kind of juggling balls. I was like, you know, sometimes you got to set those balls down. I thought about when I moved back to L.A., you know, I wasn't doing anything. And I really had to find a way to be okay with that. And it was Miss Janet Varney that I said, I'm not doing this. And she said, well, not now. And it was like the greatest statement in the world. So anyways, I understood what Mosier was saying about there are times in life where you just can't have that balance and you have to be okay with it. You know, yeah, understand it. Again, separation, perspective, which helps. But I thought what was important was to maintain that level of vibration. So even if you're not maintaining balance, you're not juggling all the balls, just be aware, highly aware, that anything you do is not detrimental to you. You know, so I got this thing coming up, so I'm going to really grind and get ready and just, you know, and it's like, just at what cost is kind of my point. You know, you don't want to lower, again, the verbiage I'm using now is kind of that vibration, you know. So it's like this level that you're at, you know, okay, I want to stay here, I want to stay at this level, and that takes work. I mean, I'm tiptoeing around with it, going, you know, it's a fragile thing, and you know, but I'm the best I've ever been. The stuff I talk about now is, you know, 8.7 drama. You know, like I used to be a 4, a 5, a 6. That drama, that's bad, that's life threatening. You're stuck, you're deep buried in your own stuff and you can't see a way out. I'm way past that. So the stuff I talk about now, it's because I'm choosing to focus that on those things. And I'm, you know, trying to figure them out, trying to organize them, trying to face them, trying to, you know, overcome the ones I can, let go of the ones I can't. But, you know, there's just things that I'm trying to kind of cling to, you know, footholds, strongholds. It's like, okay, that makes sense. And as soon as I kind of understood the vibrating thing, that's kind of stuck with me, because I'm like, well, I've been kind of vibrating at that same level since March. Like, seems like a little bit better, you know, over the time. But I mean, just staying at one level has never happened. Being consistently good, feeling good, has never happened. So I'm over here in the end zone, jumping up and down, looking at myself, trying to become more aware of the things I'm doing. So the rest are just kind of notes in no particular order. So I turned, you know, news on for a second, and there was a story of a drunk driver, a woman. Her second one, second DUI. And she hit a car with 5 people, killed the mother, father, and there's 3 girls, 1, 2, 3 years old, that were in critical condition. And it was, you know, this is middle of December. So just, you know, a few. So again, it was, you know, second week of December. All the stuff that's going on with COVID, with 2020. And you got 3 little girls, 3 little angels. And you're the mom and the dad. And were they working? You know, were they unemployed? Were they battling with finances? You know, were they getting along? You know, where were the parents at in life? And then just like that, they're gone. And then they got 3 little angel babies, you know, 1, 2, 3 years old, in critical condition. And like, that's like the worst story. And the drunk driver never dies. Isn't that nuts? rarely. But it was like, it just hit me, like, how sad, like, for the rest of the extended family. And these three babies that barely, you know, one, two, three. I mean, they'll struggle remembering their parents. It just broke my heart. Next day, I'm driving my car. There's a car next to me, about a car length ahead. And there's a road that meets our road, you know, a T. And the person comes down kind of an off-ramp and is going to turn right onto our road that me and this other car are on and just comes right out, boom, and T-bones the car a little bit ahead of me, next to me. I'm like, I could just, I mean, why wasn't I, you know, a little bit ahead in that lane? That would have been me. And, you know, that there was nothing that car could have done to avoid that. Just driving down the road straight in his lane, speed limit, minding his own business. Bam. Whole day. Turned around, changed. What you had planned, gone. And I just thought, anything can happen at any time. And that's why it kills me when people start complaining about stuff. You have no idea the bad that could happen at any time. This is one of the greatest stories I've ever heard in my life. So I've got this fantastic friend, client, named Dan. And he has a son, Graham, 2 years old. Graham's this little dude, red hair, and he just, I go, it's like he looks up in the world, and he's like, yeah, I'm going to test you, Dad, every day. But he's just this cute, awesome-looking dude, and chatted with him, you know, on Skype, I think, once, but I just love him. He just makes me smile, and I've never had a Graham story. So Dan said that, you know, it's cooled off, and they kind of took the patio furniture, the deck chairs, and they stacked them up alongside the garage. You know, they don't sit out there. And he said he's making his son, Graham, 2-year-old, a smoothie, plastic cup with a straw and a lid. Gives it to his son. He's kind of cleaning up the kitchen or whatever. He looks around, and Graham's gone. He's like, well, where did my 2-year-old son go with his smoothie? He looks out the window. Graham had gone outside, grabbed a little deck chair that, you know, fit him from the side of the house, brought it over, sat it down in the middle of the patio. Was just chilling. Dan was looking like kind of amazed, and he goes, Graham, what are you doing? This the best line in the best line of 2020. He looks at his father. He points up and he goes, "These clouds are beautiful." And I was like, wow. Like, that dude is stopping in the moment, pausing, reflecting, being aware, being thankful. Like, who stops, pauses, looks up, and says, look at the clouds? And I was like, that's exactly what his father and I have been trying to do. And it just filled my heart. And Dan got it. Like, there's my son teaching me how to be. And I said, amen, amen. But that was the best moment. I love that. So I was randomly doing nothing one day. And this has just always been one of the most rewarding stories. So I'm going to read what I posted. And this is about a longtime listener, good friend, Joe Ringenary. He was on the podcast. So 2017, December. Good morning. Happy Thursday. Lately, I've been thinking about things that will be on my gratitude list for my year-end Pro U podcast episode. This morning, I woke to this post this morning from Joseph Ringenary. It is hard to put into words, which is something I typically do not have a challenge with, but this is an example of that which I am most thankful for. I know I'm thankful for my podcast, my listeners, the opportunity CH gave me and the people that have shared and allowed me to be a small part of their ProU journey, like Joe. I cried when I read this. I chose a more spiritual path this year, and I'm assuming this is the fruit of that labor. One cannot hold it, count it, verbalize it, encapsulate the all of it. But I am so very thankful to be mentioned in this post for Joe and allowing me to be a part, a small part of his journey. And this is something I'll never forget. Thank you, Joe, for being a friend, a supporter, a fighter, an example, and a leader. I'm humbled. So here's Joe's post, 2017, December. My year in review has a bunch of pictures of Declan watching James, Declan's his son, watching James Bond movies. And while I consider that one of my more proud moments as a new father, I thought that maybe my year in review would be better spent talking about my mental health journey these past 6 months, considering I've only spoken to very few about the subject. After Declan was born, I experienced weeks of brutal nightmares. Brings me back, man. I experienced weeks of brutal nightmares, panic attacks, anxiety, and depression. I was certain that I was letting my wife down, my son down. I was embarrassed, and I didn't want anyone to know the truth. I cried. I cried in the car on the way to work for weeks because that was the only safe place to do it. To some passersby, the song Africa by Toto was very moving to me. That must have looked hilarious. I didn't know what a panic attack was. I didn't know what depression felt like. I just knew something was really wrong. When your baby's crying and you can't get out of the bed because there's an anvil on your chest and you can't breathe, but your wife, who has postpartum issues and is still recovering from major abdominal surgery, can get out of bed, you feel like the world's biggest piece of shit. After this went on for too long, I finally started talking to people. First James, then Danielle, and I wrote an email. To a stranger couple thousand miles away. And not only did Tom Dieters respond, he asked me to Skype with him. After I listed all the reasons I was a piece of shit, he told me not only was I not that, he told me that that was, wow. He told me not only was that not true, but I was actually perfectly fine. The weight that came off my The weight that came off my shoulders was tremendous. The next few weeks were hard, but I stayed in communication with Tom. I saw a doctor, got some meds, and started opening up to people close to me and admitted to what was happening, and the support was everything. Not a week has gone by without talking to Tom, and not a day goes by where I'm not grateful for his time and generosity. I'm in therapy. I haven't taken medicine in quite some time, but it's there. I feel really good right now. I'm especially grateful to Danielle, Jimmy, Jeffrey, Nicole, Christy, and Michelle for all their love and support. It's the holidays, and that can be a hard time for people. Take it for someone who tried to deal on his own, who was afraid to tell the very few people he knew could help. Talk to someone, even if it's a stranger a couple thousand miles away. There's a lot of help out there, and I promise it gets better. Lastly, if you find yourself depressed and unable to sleep, and you have a baby up all night with you, you may end up watching The Lord of the Rings extended Blu-rays to kill some 12 hours at a time. It might inspire you to reread the books that you didn't entirely enjoy the first time around. You may find a new love and appreciation for the optimism and hope in them stories, and it may lead to you getting your fine, as said by Tom Dieters, tattooed on the inside of your forearm in tan wear, so you'll never forget again. Merry Christmas, happy holidays, and good mental health. So I got a text from Joe noting that post. And here it is 3 years later. And he said, every yearly reminder of where I was and how far I've come is a joyful thing for me. Not long after this post was your year in review podcast. I listened to it while shoveling snow, and you talked about being thankful for my story. At that point, I was really starting to feel like I was turning a corner away from anxiety and towards something better. And today I'm the best I've ever been. So thank you. Five words, I can't read them. Whew. So thank you. You helped change my life. That affected me. Thank you, Joe. Just this whole thing, man. Just this whole story, this whole journey, and then like just this continues to be thankful, and that just, I'm just so proud of him, you know. And if I said I was struggling, I believe people get the wrong idea. But like I said, it's an 8.7 problem. That just hit me at a time when, you know, I needed to hear it. Because the whole climbing the pro U tree is happening for me. You know, I'm the best I've ever been. I'm experiencing things I've never experienced before. But things happen in my life and I question them. And in those moments, the questioning becomes noise. And I haven't had very much noise in a long time. And just very minimal. So when it happens, it's like that whole, you know, it's just like when I say kryptonite. I mean, it's like, well, before I used to be swimming in it and be kind of okay with it. Now I sense it 10 miles away, I'm like, warning, danger, danger. So that's all the good news. You know, and that's what I'm trying to remember. It's like, look, as soon as you feel those feelings, you're bringing out pro-U tools and you're trying to change it and you're trying to switch your perspective and you're going through a, you know, like I just have all this stuff that I do now. So it never, ever lasts as long. I mean, you funk used to last days for me. Now it's hours, moments. But in those moments, because I haven't had that noise, I just dislike it now. So I shared a podcast story about a dude that lives down the block. And I said he looked like George Foreman. Now, I'm not like jumping up and down, yay, that was such a great podcast. I'm just sharing my story. When I die, when I stop doing this podcast, I'll look back and go, everything happened. That was my journey. No one gets an opinion. Listen, not listen, that's it. But you don't get an opinion on what I shared. So that was kind of it. And I wasn't looking to, you know, hey, way to go, Tom. You know, I wasn't looking to get any response from that episode. And that was, I believe, 3 or 4 weeks ago. 2 days ago, I got into another physical altercation. And just saying that is kind of shocking. It's like, you know, 3 months-ish, I'll be turning 56. And if someone said, hey, when you're 55, you're going to get in 2 fights in a month. I'm like, what? What am I doing? I'm a professional fighter? Not just in your neighborhood. I'm like, what? So I walked out my door, and there was a package downstairs that I saw, and I'm like, just in my mind going, oh, just remember to go down and check to see if that's your package. And as I walk out my second story door, I see this cat walking just streamlined through our courtyard, like from the parking lot in the back out the front door, past the mailboxes. And he looks up and nods, like, hey, what's up? I'm like, and he don't live here. And I'm like, why is this dude just casually walking through? And I'm like, I'm kind of headed down. Why don't I hurry? So I ran down the steps. And as I got down there, he had already taken his backpack off his back, unzipped it, grabbed a package, shoved it in his bag, was zipping it up and lifting it up over his shoulder. Like that, like if I would have paused, he would have been gone. I'm like, hey, what's up? He turns around. He starts running for the door. And I want to go to grab him. He turns around. He just kind of goes, okay, well, now he's going to attack me. So I'm not going to get into all the details. But long story short, the package was returned. He left it with me. And then he left, you know, threatening to come back and get me. And at one point, I had fallen in the courtyard on this sharp plant and ripped the back of my shirt, and I had some scratches on my back, and that was kind of the extent of it. I had a little cut where my heel had stepped on this kind of piece of sharp cement, and that's why I tripped and fell into this bush. But these plants were kind of, you know, squashed, and I felt really bad about it. Ended up telling the, you know, manager, and I finally saw her like yesterday, and I said, so sorry about the plants. And she's like, Tom, I don't care about the plants. How are you? And I go, you know, I'm fine. And we chatted text-wise when it happened, and she's like, you know, you got to stop doing that. And I go, yeah, I know. So this was the noise. As he left, I was thinking, why did I let him leave? He said he's going to come back. Now I got to think about that. He's like, I'm coming back just for you. I'm like, I'm here. And I'm like, it was like the mud. You know, if you get in the mud, guess what? You're in the mud. And it's like, okay, so now it's like, okay, now I got that thing. And I got this guy mad, wanting to come back, wanting to get me. And I was like, and that's where I was like, okay, you want to keep doing this. And this is where the noise just got loud. Because it was like this, what path are you going to pick? You got to totally bow out from any of this stuff. Or you're always going to have a little bit of this. And it just went back and forth and back and forth. And it was like a little bit in the afternoon. And I was kind of leaning, getting tired. And I was drinking some caffeine because I was trying to wake up to, because I really wanted to get a workout in. I'm like, okay, just work out. And then it was like full moon. I'd stand up and I walk, and I couldn't stop my brain. And I was like, I just dislike that when I can't shut it off. Like there was just no, because it was like, I should have done this. Why didn't I do this? And it was like, and then it figured it out. So this was a little bit of clarity. It's my intention. Like the whole George Foreman deal, my intention, wasn't even on my radar. It was, so it was like, okay, just defend myself. And then it was teach him a lesson, and I wasn't really trying to hurt him. And that was it, walk away. And I did that. So as far as that went, I was successful. But my intention here was like, wow, I caught a guy, stop him. Okay, and then it went to like defend yourself. And then it was, all right, get this guy out of here. And then I stopped, and I was like, there were just these moments like, why didn't I do that? I'm like, I didn't even do that thing. And I'm like, what? And it bugged me because there were just obviously two things that I just should have done. And I'm like, but my intention wasn't, okay, here's a person I'm going to hurt. So all of a sudden those things aren't on my, like my radar, so they don't come to my mind. And I was just kind of like hanging out in a way. But obviously I did enough to stop him and get the package back. But it was just, I went through it. And I'm like, man, I just could have put a chokehold on him, and I could have held him until the cops came here. And then I was on hold after that. I'm like, well, I should just at least make a police report or something. And I was on hold for like 25 minutes, and I hung up. And I'm like, whoa. I'm like, okay, I'm sure you got to call 911, but it wasn't a life or death situation. He was already gone. I'm like, and I just sat there going, well, what now? And this is where the one side of my brain was going, George Foreman ain't been outside his house since. In the street, walking around, not one time. So the big bully was retired. Where's the bad? Package was returned. I wasn't hurt. He got hit pretty hard. He got one knee into his head. You know what I mean? It was like, I'm fine. Where's the bad? And that's a large part. Because when I looked out the doorway and saw that dude, there's no part of me that said, okay, if you go down there and he's a bad guy, what if something bad happens? There's none of that thinking. I just go to A, which is, you know, defend whatever it is. And it's like, well, you know, I did that podcast episode and it was kind of uncomfortable going, well, I'm 55 and I just had this thing with this dude walking to the post office. I mean, who does that? You know, it's like, not it's nothing even close to being embarrassed. It's just like, you know, I'm not walking around tooting my horn going, hey, look what I do. It's like, I don't predict that stuff. I don't see that stuff in my life. But it's like, well, a bad guy, what am I going to do? Not do that, not stand up? Like, how do I? I'm like, a dude's stealing packages. Like, how do I? Okay, go ahead, take that. Yeah, take that. Maybe it's mine, maybe it's not. Who cares? Just feel free, take that. I mean, I don't even get that. So the other part of me is going, we just got to let all that go. It's like, what? And that's where the noise was. And I said, so where's the bad? George Foreman retired, package returned. I'm unhurt. Two physical altercations at the age of 55. I won them both. Perfect. You won. Yay. Win-win. Where's the bad? The noise. What noise? Well, I'm on this personal journey of evolving and growing. And I don't have noise in my head anymore. I don't have the chatter. I don't have a discussion. I don't have that anymore. And now I can't get this one out of my head. So, which leads me to probably one of the most uncomfortable things I've ever chatted about is porn. There was a big chatter in my head about that. So it's been kind of this on and off thing, and I'm going to tell you my stages and what happened, because this kind of really was a cool thing. I didn't really know if it was bad or not. Bunch of people going, look, it's the worst thing in the world. Mostly religious people. And other people going, what? It's like eating a sandwich. Porn's a normal thing. You know, so it's like, well, where do I fit? And I had to find out. So what I did was like, look, if that happens, whatever, it happened. Don't just let it go. You know what I mean? Don't dwell on it. Because I wasn't like, you know, there's people with some real messed up sexual problems and, you know, far, 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 far from that. But it's one of the things where I'm like, okay, you know, to me it's like I could just replace just eating something with sugar. Oh, let me just quick do that. Ah, okay. The release, the stress, the whatever the thing is that you're doing for that quick little fix. It's kind of like that. And then 5-10 minutes later you're going, why did I eat that thing? Why did I do that thing? And so that was kind of going on with me for a while. And I'm like, I just don't. And this is one of the things, like, I just don't want the noise. Yeah, but it's, do you or don't you? I go, whatever. If it happens, whatever. That's the worst thing I do. Okay. You know? And the noise got quiet. And that was kind of, I would say, like the last year. You know, it wasn't a regular thing. It wasn't a bad thing. But it was one of those things where it's like, you know, does that serve you? Does that help you in any way? So I knew in the back of my mind, it was like, I will go to the place where I'm not. I will head that way. But it's got to be without judgment and critique and noise. It just can't be that anymore. I can't tolerate noise all the time about something. all the time. I just can't. And the noise was quiet, and that was kind of the dope thing about, you know, me and porn. It was just like, all right, it just didn't really, you know, if it happened, it was done. I didn't dwell on it. I didn't think it was right, wrong, good, or bad. It was just, you know, and was, you know, kind of less and less frequent. And then here it was, October 2020. And I was like, all right, I'm ready. And I stopped. So October, November, now we're into December. And the next week, there's only two more podcasts left this year. This one and next week, Christmas Day, the 25th. And then the following Thursday is the 1st. So there's only two more left of this year. So I have today, and then which comes out on the 18th. And then next week's, which comes out on the 25th. So these are the last two. And on the last one, I go kind of started making this, you know, year-end review list and all the things that I've kind of gone without. You know, alcohol was last November, so in a year, it had been a year I had gone without alcohol. And then, you know, took porn out in October, so it's October, November, now in December. And I think, again, were any of those things really bad for me? No. Were any of them good? No. Did they serve me? No. So that 8.5, getting to the 8.7, starts going, okay, I'm cleaning house. And the list I wrote down of the things I don't do anymore is pretty staggering. When I said start a spiritual journey at 52, I wasn't, oh, take alcohol out and take porn out. It was none of that. I just knew I wasn't going to pursue human constructs. And then you fast forward and it's like, but look at how just naturally you started taking out things that didn't serve you along the spiritual journey. So Sunday morning I woke up, because it happened on Saturday. So Sunday morning I woke up and it was just, the word resolve came to my head. I'm like, well, in regards to what? It's like I gotta look that word up. But it was, it's not to go, okay, are you the guy that's gonna stand up to bad guys? Or are you gonna be the guy that just turns away and is quiet now? Which one are you gonna be? It's like I don't have that answer. I may never have that answer. And that was the resolve, was I'm just going to quiet the noise. My resolve to quiet the noise, not to decide who I'm going to be in the future. I don't want to think about the future. I want to think about right now. So right now, I'm at peace. Because both those situations, I could have got hit, got hurt, got, you know, whatever. And I'm like, you know, again, I got scratched by a plant, but literally unscratched in the accident, Zen and I. First altercation, didn't even get touched. Second altercation, didn't get touched. So this big part of me going, what happened? Where's the bad? Two bad guys, you one, Tom two, bad guy zero. Where's the... I'm like, yeah, but it's all the noise after. It's like, well, is that the problem? Standing up to the bad guy, or is the noise? And for right now, it's the noise. Like when I walk out my door and I see, you know, some guy doing some bad thing, for me to stop and go, now, should I count to 10 and go through the scenarios that if it happens badly for me, you know, it's like, I don't know how to have that register first. I'm down the steps doing the thing before I'm thinking about not doing it. What do you mean not doing it? Why wouldn't you not go be me? That's acceptance. I got to accept me right now. There's, you know, an hour or two where I was, you know, what are you going to do? What are you going to be? Who you just question after question after question. I was like, okay, again. In Zen, we don't find the answers. today. I know I feel good today. I know I feel strong. I know I feel confident. I feel comfortable. You know, everything I've done, all the choices I've made, I don't feel bad for any of them. I don't regret any of them that I've made lately, this year, 2020. I dig me some time in 2020. But my resolve is to keep being me, keep moving forward, keep doing my best. Like that quote said, my best is going to change from moment to moment, day to day. But I can say right now, I have done my best the entire time I've been on this earth. And I'm doing my best now. Like, it's not Sunday. It's Tuesday. I didn't know what to say Sunday morning. I didn't know how I felt yet. I just wanted to quiet the noise. And on Sunday, I quieted the noise. And Mondays are kind of busy for me, so I don't really have the time to sit down and... But it, again, by Monday, I was like, I still didn't really know what I was going to say or how I was going to say it. And that weighs on me. And that's kind of tiring. And then this morning, I got up and I walked Zen, ran Zen. But when we come back, I was just walking to the house and I started thinking about the podcast. I'm like, well, what's my message? And I'm like, well, let me look up the word resolve. And right when I looked that up, I was like, okay. A strong determination to do something. I love that. That's fantastic. What's that? It's pro you. That's what I'm going to do. I'm going to continue a strong determination to continue to be consistently pro you. The best I can be moment to moment. Without judgment or critique. And, you know, that would be so the example I'm setting. You know, I'm far from perfect. I'm flawed. And again, almost 56, gotten two fights in less than a month. Like, who else do you know? You know, so it's like the big part of me, you know, 2-3 years ago, going, you gotta work on your temper, you gotta work. It's like, dude, you suck. It's like, well, no, I didn't get mad either one. I didn't yell, I didn't swear. I wasn't really out for blood, really wasn't trying to hurt anybody, you know what I mean? I just did what I needed to do. I'm like, well, because there's worse things. So yeah, I'm going to love me some Tom. As is. Like Zen does. And so that makes two of us that love Tom as is. And that is enough. Because I'm worth it. I don't know if I've ever said that on a podcast episode before. But I am worth it. So we got one more episode after this. I hope you are well. The next episode will be year in review, looking back at 2020. And I'll share lots of things then. But I hope you're doing well and I hope you're managing this time. And you're managing the stories that are playing in your head, and you can have resolve to just be passionate about something, and the pursuit of a better you is a great thing, because you are worth it. Hello, and welcome to your Pro You Moment. Stoked. Proud. Pleasantly comfortable. consistently thankful that you're here. Let's begin to control that which we can. Seated on the floor, legs folded if you can, eyes closed, neutral neck, shoulders over your hips, navel tucked into your spine. We'll draw the inhale through the nose, slowly allowing the exhale out the mouth, elongating the inhale through the nose and elongating the exhale out the mouth. Keep that rhythm, keep that flow. That will be your focus. That is what connects your mind to your body, making you present in this moment. Do that to the best of your ability for 180 seconds. I will let you know when time is up. You may begin now. Well done. Way to go. It's always nice to hear nice things, is it not? But we can't live there hoping that we hear nice things. Because it's your path. And that means everybody else's is different than yours. And a bunch of those people will have no idea what you're going through because your paths are different. choices are different, your background's different, childhood, your experiences, social conditioning, all the things we gather and accumulate. And then we gotta undo. There's a quote that spoke about finding yourself. It's not really finding yourself, it's really undoing all the things that you learned from other people about yourself. And you just rediscover who you truly are. That's the pursuit. That's the pro-you path. A higher version of you, the best you, may not be one that everybody understands. And that's completely okay. No one else has to. If you do, peace and God bless.